Today's Perek in Tanakh is Shoftim, Perek Dalet. So we saw yesterday the opening stories of the Shoftim, in which the victories, some of the victories were long-lived victories, we give sometimes even 80 years. By the way, those years, according to the Seder Olam, only work out if they are viewed as starting from the beginning of the Tzora, which is fascinating. In other words, the 80 years would include 18 years of Sheba. This actually is the way that the Torah relates to the years when it talks about the wars of Kedar LaOmer, back with the story of Avram Avinu, how many years of Du, Yemei Shalvata, and so on. It's all analysis in the Gemara. But the fact that we can look backwards and we can see the entire period is sort of Samchenu Timot Initanu kind of thing, in which we look back after there's a Yeshua, and we realize that Otcha Hashem ki anaftavi, I am grateful to you for the Tzora because of the Yeshua that it created, which is relates to the Hallel. Be'etzara, you say the Hallel, and then Eimer Meisa on the Yeshua. So the two are interrelated, the Yeshua with the Tzora. This becomes very nogea in tomorrow's parak, where in fact the Gemara identifies the Hallel as being primarily an aspect of Hallel is primarily a creation of Devorah and Barak. The Gemara goes through various stages that the Hallel was said in history. But what we learned there were that there were greater, lesser Yeshuas. We spoke about Ehud, and then after Ehud came Shamgar ben Anat, who was only of the Gam. So we had two Yeshuas, we had Otniel ben Knaz, and we had Ehud ben Gira. Shamgar ben Anat was of the Gam. Because of that, in the continuation here, in Perek Dalet, where things start to go sour again, it was not because of the death of Shamgar, but rather because of the death of Ehud. So even though that was earlier, it's what we attribute the problem to. Vayosifu b'nei Yisrael asot hara b'nei Adonai ve'ehud met. So here we no longer have Ehud, and therefore there was no one to be machzer b'tshuva, no shofet. Vayimkirem Adonai b'yad yavin melech kinaan asher malach b'chatzor v'saret zva'os Yisra v'hu yoshev b'charoshet haguyim. Now what becomes clear over here is even though there was the destruction of Chatzor by Yehoshua, we know that one of the lists, in the lists of the various Eretz Hamish Eret, one of the most frightening muvlaat that we could talk about, an area that remained in the hands of the Kna'anim, was the Emek Yisrael. And that was an immense area that basically included the whole Emek Zevulun. And the Goyim regrouped in that area. They actually called the name of their main Malchus Charoshet HaGoyim, which has a sense of industry. As the Mefarshim point out, Charoshet is a place where you have an industrial area. So it means that they not only regrouped, but they reorganized themselves according to the vision of the original Malchut, which is always, they'll always call themselves, and now it becomes the king of Chatzor. Chatzor may be destroyed, but this is the ongoing kingdom of Chatzor, just as Saddam Hussein is the ongoing kingdom of Nebuchadnezzar. So they, okay. So now we have a guy who calls himself the king of Chatzor. He's got allies all over the place, as we're going to see. He brings into action. These guys are rearming mightily, which is Merumas in Charoshet HaGoyim. It became the industrial military complex. They had built up, rebuilt their armory, even though initially Yisrael had made them a mass. They had clearly expanded now throughout the valley, because the valley was where they had the advantage in armament. What was their armament? As we saw earlier, their armament was Rechav Barzel. So there, that Rechav Barzel, the tanks were usable not in the mountainous areas, which remained in the hands of the B'nai Yisrael, as we'll see, but rather in the footlands beneath Har Tabor. We spoke about that earlier, the Xilot, which is the small valley around the bottom of the Tabor, Emek Yisrael, Emek Zevulun. So these were places that, as long as it was the dry season, there was no problem. Rechav Barzel would basically smash anybody that attempted to fight on foot. So v'yitzaku v'nei Yisrael el Adonai, ki tshah me'ot Rechav Barzel, it was an immensely powerful army that had been recreated, because the Canaanite didn't have a national army after the wars of Yehoshua, and here all of a sudden we find them with a very serious army, well armament, very, very expensive and extensive armament, which apparently relates to Karosh HaTaguyim, and Hula Chatzit B'nei Yisrael B'choska Srim Shana. For 20 years, this guy Yavin is pressing B'nei Yisrael, and they're getting pushed back into the mountains, into the hill country, and they can't come down to live and to farm and so on. Now, there's a very important medrash over here, which appears in the Targum itself, who understands that the nature of the lachatz on B'nai Yisrael is not the Rech of Barzel, which we already saw, but rather the way that they manipulated the media. And it brings a raya from Chizku Alai Divrechem. So that when you talk about Bechazka, it's always a psychological warfare. No. Rashi brings it, yes, but it's based on the Targum. Awesome. Okay, I mean, he brings it from the Drash of Rabbi Tanchuma, but that's the Lashon of the Targum. So that they were gidufin, is what the Targum says. They turned Yisrael against themselves by looking down at them and by speaking about it in the UN and by turning them into a bunch of invaders. But the important nekuda over here is that until now, we were dealing only with military issues. So there were places where you were defeated, but there was no sense of doubting the rights, bichlal, of Yisrael to Eretz Yisrael, and that they actually had in mind to throw us out of here. The first time that we found that was here. And this is after the years of Ehud and Shamgar. And now 20 years have passed, and we have now a bunch of farmers, basically, on the one hand. We're fighting a professional army, on the other hand. And people who have no centralized government are fighting now against people who are able to manipulate world opinion so that everybody's looking at the Jews as a bunch of idiots. What are they doing? Udvora. Now, the reason that this is so important has something to do, as we'll see, with the story of women. Now, it's going to turn out that we're not going to finish the story in this parak, because the shira that appears in the next parak adds tens of details to what really happened in the events of this parak. And this parak just is there to provide the context for the details that are given in the shira. So, Mamela, we don't really get a sense of what's happening here. But one thing that is very clear is that for some reason or another, in a departure from everything that we've been used to in these wars, in which the women were basically kept at home, we found that the B'nai Gad and B'nai Reuven, they wanted to put the women aside and keep the kids aside, and they would go out to fight. Here, the defeat is specifically in terms of two special women, one of whom is Devorah, and the other is Yael, as we'll see. Why that should be true, we'll have to discuss when we get to the end of the shira. Udvorah Isha Nivia. So here we had a woman who was a prophetess. Eshet Lapidot, the wife of a man called Lapidot, or another way of reading it, a fire of a woman. Eshet Lapidot. Not coincidentally, her husband's name is Barak. Right? So now he's lightning and she's fire, and this group is ready to take over the world. Right? So this is, that's the way Mitzvah learns the simple meaning. It means lapidot ziriza, like a lapidesh. So it's a melitza. Okay? So she's, the other understanding of it was the way the Medrash views it in many places, that she was osa, the lapidot in the Beit HaMikdash. So she used to make special ptilot for the Mishkan, and that was marba, the or of the Mishkan. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu told her, because your kavana was to be marbe, the or of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's presence, which is a remez to the or agonus, I'm going to be marbe orech b'yudav Yerushalayim. So that this story is the result of a new level of or that is specifically coming from this woman. And this is remarkable, because he shoftat Yisrael ve'etayi, for the first time, without even a blink of an eye, we find a woman taking the spiritual leadership role as well. And yeah, and she at that time she was the shofetet, so you have a problem with that. So in other words, it's as if the pasuk is just taking it for granted. Why should there not be a woman who would be the shofet of Yisrael? V'yoshevet tachat tomer devorah bein aramah bein betel bar Ephraim. She would set up her shop underneath the tomer of devorah. Now that the simple meaning is that there was a particular tree that she stood under. But there's all kinds of Ramazim over here. One is, why did the Gemara say, why did she choose a Tamar? Because a Tamar never has enough branches to create a Yichud problem. So anybody could always see her discussing things with someone who came into her office. So basically, she always had a video camera on so nobody would be cheshed her, or they shouldn't come to Yichud. Right? So here, we see the level of her tzidkes. The other relationship is that just like the Tomer, we know, a tree, the palm tree, doesn't branch out. So too, she basically achieved a door that was kulay, had only levechad lavim shva shamayim. The broader sense of the pasuk is that she was fabulously rich, and that she had holdings of Tomer Devorah was the name of her company, basically, which had holdings now all the way from Ramah to Beit El to Har Ephraim. Here the Targum is the very mysterious, what we call in the Gemara, Tur Malka. Right? What is Tur Malka? Har HaMelech. The Targum of Har Ephraim is Har HaMelech. Tur Malka. Because the truth is, we already saw in the Melchama of Ehud that for some strange reason, despite the fact that he's identified as a Benyamini, that he runs to Har Ephraim, which we thought meant he runs to Har Ephraim, the area of Ephraim. But it's not true. Har Ephraim includes the entire range in which here we're talking about Ramah, and we're talking about Beit El. We're talking about Atarot, which was her own city. That's where she really lived, as the Targum brings out. So we're talking about she had holdings all over the place. So she had Tamarim in Yericho. She had Kramim in the Ramah, because that's a Mokum of Kramim. And she had Zeitim in Bikat Beit El, because that's a Mokum of Zeitim. And she had a quarry in Har Ephraim, and that's Tur Malka. So she had a lime quarry. So she was very rich. She was an industrialist. This is an amazing woman. So this goes back to her being an Eshet Lapidot. She's a fiery young lady who's made it very, very big in life. She's very independent. You see the way that she speaks to her husband. Basically, it's a very, very liberated woman. Vayalu Eleha B'nei Yisrael HaMishpat. And so Klal Yisrael goes now from all over to her for the mishpat, which is remarkable. They're coming. Everybody comes to her. She's the shofet at the fall of Yisrael. Amazing. Vatishlach vatikra devarak ben Avinon mikedesh Naftali. So here, obviously, Chazal identified Barak ben Avinoam as the Lapidot, because that was one of his other names, say Chazal. So he basically had the name of Lapidot. He had the name of Barak, and obviously the mokum of their yeshiva was really in Kedesh. We saw there were a few Kedeshes. The Kedesh that was in the area of Hori Naftali. Vatomre lav halotziva Adonai Elohei Yisrael leich umashachta b'har Tavor. I'm giving you over a tzivui, a Kadosh Baruch Hu commands, go out to Har Tavor v'lakachta imcha, and go be Moshech. Moshech means you're going to have to go and talk them into it, because obviously they're scared to death. So you're going to have to be Moshech, as the Lashon says in the Mitzvahs, of Pitui. You're going to have to talk them, you're going to have to persuade them that this is a good idea, because right now they're frightened. So here is a woman that basically is really set up as a family in Kedesh of Naphtali. She has holdings in Yericho, Beit El, Har Ephraim. So all around, Binyamin now, areas of Yehuda, Ephraim possibly also, but it's not clear how far holdings extended. But that's, as Rashi says, the Targum Yonatan shows that the Ein Mikra Zeh Kimashma'o. This is not where she lived. It's that she was fabulously rich. So that her real area, so to go up to Kedesh Naphtali, which is around the Har Tavor, V'lakachta Imcha, Aseret Alafim Ish, Bibnei Naphtali, why is it that Dafka, Bnei Naphtali, and Bnei Zevulun were the ones, according to the Medrash? And obviously, the reason that they're there, Bnei Naphtali, Bnei Zevulun, is because they're up on the mountains. Right, although everybody was called to attack from the rear. But from the top of the mountains to come down, this was Naphtali and Zevulun. And not only that, we'll see in the Shira that this was a very dangerous little game. Because by coming down, they could be just crushed by the Rech of Barzel. So that the tactics here were confusing, which we'll talk about tomorrow. So why was it, says the Medrash, Naphtali was Meshamesh Yaakov Avinu? And we saw this. This is Naftali Ayala Shlucha, and they always used him basically as the messenger. So for that Shimush, he was Zeche to this Yeshua. And Zevulun was a Mishamish Yisachar by bringing the living for Yisachar to be Isaac B'Teira. And because of this, they were the ones that were Zeche to this. Umashachti Elecha El Nachal Kishon. So you did the Mashiach of Bnei Yisrael. And I, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, will be Meshech to Nachal Kishon, which runs along the valley. Sisra Sar Tzva Yavin. He is the big guy. Ve'et Rechbo. All of his tents. Ve'et Hamono and his massive army. Unetatiu Biyadecha. I'm going to give it over into your hands. Vayomer Eleha Barak. I'm only going if you come. This was the Beserah that they had from Yehoshua. The Shofet has to lead. So if you're the Shofetet, what are you telling me? I should go. So now, what is that supposed to mean? I should go, but because you're a woman, and it's not the derech for a woman to be with Muhammad. You're not leading because you're strong. You're leading because of your mind. Because you're the Shofetet. So you have to be there because of the Ruach HaKadosh that Shaira on you. Not Stam. Otherwise I'm not going. Vatomer, so she says to him, okay. Holo Chaylechi Mach, I'm going to go. But I'm telling you right now, if you think that your being Mitzarev with me is going to give you greater presence for yourself, the way the Medrash puts it is, I'll bet you think you're going to be the one that's going to end up saying the Shira. I mean, after all, a woman's not going to sing, right? It's a very, very cute interpretation. You'll see that it's not going to be that way. And in the end, it says, Vatoshar Devora Ubarak. So that indeed it was Devorah she was. Always Shira Devora, even though Barak sang. Right? So you think that you're going to be able to ride on my coattails? No way. you're not going to get anything out of this. But I'll come. But Ephes Kiloti Atif Art Chala Derech Shata Halak. You should know you're not going to come out of this on top. Kibiyat Isha Yim Korah Dunayet Sisra. That God will be giving over Sisra into the hands of a woman, into the hands of Yael, as we'll see, and the song is going to be a song by women. Vatokom Devora Vatelech Im Barak Keitzad. So she got up and indeed went with him.
Barak is her husband or the commander?
Barak is her husband also, says Chazal.
Okay, who hears the song? Everybody?
Everybody,
it's
yeah. That part, we get to the song. The Shira is poetry. It's not necessarily with music. Vayazek Barak et Zevulun vet Naftali Ketcha. Vayal Biraglav Aseret Alfei Ish. And so foot, it's all by foot, all foot soldiers. I can't really fight this record, but Barzal, they have like 10,000 people. Vatali mo devora. Now, meanwhile, just as a little bit of background, the Chever HaKeni, one of the descendants of Choten Moshe, was also Chever, basically. This is Chever. The Keni, who was, Keni is Kain, who was Mibnei Chovav Choten Moshe, according to Chazal, these are all the same person, but different aspects of the relationship of Yitro, really. So this individual, Chever, he split in terms of his location for Bnei Chovav. Vayet ahalo ad elon b'tza'ananim asheret kedesh. So he made peace, really, as we'll see. He made peace with the Kananim so that he could continue to farm in the elon, which is always the lotion of the plains. He was down in the plains, but Tza'ananim, the Targum of Tza'anan is Tza'ana from Bitsa'im. Bitsa'im means the swampland. Why do we call it swampland? Because in the rains, the area would fill up. Because it's basically the Chula Valley. And it's the area directly across the Chula Valley, which now is indeed a Mokum of Tza'ananim. So there's places, that as soon as it rains, these places down near the road become filled with water. This ends up being very important because it's part of the way that the Rechef Barzel become destroyed, according to the later historians, Yosef and Matityahu, as a whole story of how what happened to Sisera is that there was an immense surprise storm, which is not that much of a surprise because it often happens in the middle of what appears to be summer. In that area, between Pesach and Shavuos, there's storms. So there was a surprise storm in which all of his rechev, he compared it to Paro, all of his rechev got stuck. It was a disaster. They ended up having to flee on foot. The Jews were used to being on foot. were ended up killing him. And so that's the background, stuck in the mud. Exactly. So Mamela, we need to know it was Eilon B'Tza'ananim. Therefore comes along the Targum to relate it to B'Tza'im, Lashon of Gevim, says Rashi. Gevim are puddles. So the whole area had puddled water in it, if it would rain. All right, so he was friends now with these people. And now you need to keep that in the background. Now, getting back to the story. So Sisra finds out, Ki Allah Barak ben Avinoam Hartavar, and boy is he happy. And so he summons the whole army. So obviously the main center was not Chatzor, even though he's called Melech Chatzor, it was Haroshet HaGoyim. So Haroshet HaGoyim is all the way, I think it's much closer to Kfar Hasidim is the place it is. But it's very close to Kfar Hasidim, around that Yokdan Valley area on the other side. So he calls all of his people from Haroshet HaGoyim to Nachal Kishon. V'tomed voral barak, okay, buddy. Today is the day. Kum, ki zeh hayom ha-shedatan Adonai Yitzisra v'yadecha, halo Adonai Yitzalefanecha. You were worried about who's going to go in front. You tell me, I got to come. Because this is not one of those wars. This is a war in which even though HaKadosh Baruch Hu said that he's not going to do these wars anymore, this is a specific Yeshua, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going out in front. And indeed, this is one of the wars we spoke about, Vayahamu Magadola, wars of Muhuma, of which there were only three in history. This is one of those promises that HaKadosh Baruch Hu had made about Shalash Belchomais, because it's three Lashonis of Muhuma, and that he went out to be homein, to absolutely use shock technique to completely destroy the Goyim, and that's what happened over here. There was an insane storm. There was a meteor shower. These people were terrified, knew what was going on. They ended up becoming terrified, losing all control, losing their armament, and ended up being totally wiped out. So here, this Sisra, the Medrash talks about, an amazing guy. So he's 30 years old, young. They say that he was so powerful that he would just bark at a lion and it would stand still. He became like this mythic figure of immense power, and therefore was Bedavka going to give over this figure into the hands of a woman. And that was part of the Mida Kenegan Mida. He went around acting like the ultimate male. No, this is not a small issue. We're going to see it's extremely important, the way that he carried on, because it's the way his mother looks at him. It's going to be part of, his mother looked at him as this insanely sexual figure, and she sings about how he must be having a great time in war, raping everybody. This is part of the actual story that becomes clear in the Shira. And so Dvorah says to Barak, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Yotze here, not me. Vayered Barak mihar tavor, v'aseret alafim ishak harav, clearly to draw them, meanwhile all the other Shvatim came from the other side on the ground.
They're
in the wait.
But they don't see them.
No, Sisra knows. Sisra has now his army on the other side also. He knows that from the Umman. So, Vayoham Adonai et Sisra, Vet Kola Reche, Vet Kola Bachane, Lefi Cherev Lefnei Barak, Vayer et Sisra Me'al Amerkava, Vayonas Paragla. The first thing is, let's reduce these guys and show them that Shameot Rechev Barzel means nothing. All it takes is, so to speak, in the Medrash, a wink of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's eyes, and the storm wipes out his whole thing. And we'll see later on in the Shira, talks about HaKochavim in the Silotam. So there obviously now there's a meteor shower, and these guys are just, there's a great video, by the way, last week. Fantastic video in which a road camera, a traffic camera, picked up this insane meteor explosion. In which I saw one of these things some 45 years ago in Toronto. It's the most amazing, you're like total shock. The sunlight's, the sky lights up brighter than day, right? Brighter than day. It's like, what in the world? Everything comes to a stop. And this is picked up on a camera. Somebody just sent it to me, like, last week. And so, these guys were, like, totally wiped out by all of this. And Mamash, it was Star Wars. As it says in this Shira. Right here, in this area. In Emek, this is Emek Zvulun, Emek Israel.
Not so unusual, right? Even now, we get these strange weather.
The weather, but the meteor is a beautiful story. Huh? So anyway, so he is now reduced to being a foot soldier, okay? The great Sisera with all of his heart. So he's running now on foot. This is crazy. Vayonis Baraglav. And Barak is chasing him. So Barak radaf acharei arechev, v'acharei amachaneh, ad charoshet agoyim. So at this point, any stragglers in the army, they're trying to get back to their stronghold. In charoshet agoyim. The whole place is in an absolute mehumah. That was the lashon. Vayohom. Vayohom means that they've lost all control and it's pure chaos. Vayipol kol machaneh Yisrael lifnei cherev lo nishar ad echad. The entire army is wiped out. Sisera, meanwhile, is nasperag lav el ohel yael eshet chevrakeni ki shalom ben yavin melech hatzor ben beit chevrakeni. As we saw, these guys were down in Elon b'tzananim, which means that obviously they were not being bothered by the troops of the Kanani, so they had made a peace treaty between Yavin and the shepherds of Beit Chever. He was a very famous guy. And the same way, remarkably, we find that the Keni have an ability to relate to anybody. And that's why he's called Chever. He's friends to all. Yisro is the only guy that tried out every Avodah Zorah in the world. That's the Ato Yadati. So there's something about Yitro that allows the Keni, we'll see later on, to be friends with Amalek. Best of friends with Amalek. Hand in hand. And yet they are the ones that are mechubar to Yisrael and the Midbar and throughout the Dairis and the children learning with Otniel ben Kenaz and so on. No contradiction here. So Sisera's primary, Yael's primary loyalty is to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. She was a great tzaddikess, as we'll see from the Gemara later. So she goes out.
If this is, in fact, we got to what's going on, I don't know how it sounded yet. If is that really near the Hula Valley, then he ran a long way.
Yeah, in Achinami.
A real long way. I thought it was to the west of the Kinneret, like we got Yael in that area there.
The west of the Kinneret is that? You mean directly lower?
He means Bikat
Yavneel. Look, I don't know. There is such a sheet. Yeah, it's possible. It is possible. Although the Pashtas of Elon with Tzananim is much more likely to be the Kula, which is very, very watery.
We don't recognize the Emek Yisrael in that area before what it was. You said,
okay, it could be.
All year round, was it possible?
It could be. Could be. I don't know. I mean, it's certainly possible. But you can see that the entire area basically is connected to a watery today. Certainly, the area that we would call Elon Tzananim would be to the foothills of that whole Naphtali area. So that it would be right underneath Mitzvah Koach, exactly, right underneath the Machanet Tzahal, which has a fantastic view. You go up there, the view is astonishing of the entire valley. And you're basically overlooking everything there. But you could see if somebody's Charlotte on the valley, then it's going to be hard for you to get down even. They won't be able to get up to the Har, which is why there was never war in the Har. But you won't be able to get down in the valley. So what happens is he runs, and he believes that he's with an ally. And so he's going towards, oh, Yael Eshet Chevra Akini. So that's where he's running to, because he knows he's only got one reliable ally in the area. So Sisera Nasra Aglab El Ohel Yael Eshet Chevra Akini, Ki Shalom Ben Yavin Melech Hatzor. But Teitze Ya'el Yitrat Sisra, so she goes out, she's the great famous Sisra, the He-Man. I mean, it's Vatomer Elav, so she says to him, Sura Adoni, Sura Elai, come into my place. Vayasar Eleha O'ala, so he comes in, Vatechaseo Basmicha, and she covers him. Smicha, we know today we use Smicha as a blanket. The fact is that this is the only time that the word Smicha ever occurs, so nobody knows what it means from the Mefarshim, because it didn't have its original meaning of smicha. So some say it means that she put a coat over him, and that's Rish Lakish says, Chazanu al kol hamikrav lo matzanu kli sheshmo smicha. There's no such thing. Therefore, what must the smicha be? Shmi kol. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is made that they did not have sex, but we'll see that they did in the Shira. So in other words, but as the Gemara says, it means that she was totally out of it, that she just used basically the sexual connection with him to completely wear him out so that she could be Sholeta.
As a cover.
So he, as a cover, exactly.
Kind of,
no, it's not that. That's what I'm saying. It's the Pshat Shalona Gaba. He never really touched her. That's the point. That's the quote that Gemara asks. Even if it's lishma, when it comes to sex, lamaisa, we say that since you're neh, so there's no such thing as. So it says that's not called pleasure. To sleep with Arnold Schwarzenegger for a tzadekes is not a pleasure. Kol hanatam shorishraim etzot tzadikim is not hanah. It's just disgusting. So it means that it's purely mechanical as far as she's concerned.
Yeah, it was
about the sexual connections. It's just being meramed. So later on, in the Shira, it becomes extremely explicit to the point where really children shouldn't be listening to that Shira because it uses vulgarities and so on, which aren't translated, I don't think, in most translations. But it's extremely vulgar, the Shira, because of the Aim Sisra, who was vulgar. So to bring out her vulgarity, the relationship to women, it actually uses very vulgar terminology. The Vayomer Eleo, so he says to Ashkiri Namat, Mayim, Kitsameti, I've been running. So about Tiftach and the Oda Chalav, again, Chazal take this as a Dover Pusha, because of the sexual presence in the scene, could only mean her breasts, not really the Oda Chalav. In which case, that they actually learn a halacha from here. From here you see that women's milk is called a mashka, and it's Makabal Tuma. Because obviously the Na'oda Chalav meant that she gave him her breasts. So this had a double power of making him sexually meek. So now he's like not thinking about anything else. And it also got him very tired, because milk tires you out. So vatashkeu vatachaseu. Vayomer eleha. So he says to her, now he's totally worn out, and he's happily relying on her, his lovely Yael, who's been waiting for him all these years. Amot petach ha'oz, just stand there at the door. If anybody comes around and asks, are there any men here? Say, nobody's here. So he trusts her, falls asleep. So Yael, who's the wife of Chever, and has all those milas, Chazal identify her schus as being a complete ishak shera, because even though what she just did, you'd say, violates her marriage, but no, they were made on her, that Adarab. She was an Isha Kshera, and that the Medrash points out that here's the only tzitkis that we see of her, is that she's completely Isha Tchever. That means she's a totally loyal wife. This is one of the mekaymes that the Medrash says, Ezori Isha Kshera. This is also Ratzon Ba'ala from this person. So she takes the Yatad Ha'oel. How do you say that in English? Peg?
It's called peg.
Spikes. Yeah, spikes. Okay. I like that word better. Okay, so she takes these spikes that hold the tent to the ground. And vatasim et amakevet biyadah. She takes this big hammer in her hand. Vatavoy lav balat. She creeps up on him. Vatitkata yate barakator. She puts the spike right through the temple of his head. Vatitznach ba'aretz, goes all the way through into the ground. Vohu nirdam, he meanwhile he'd been asleep, vayaaf, and he was dead tired, and he died very quickly. Vayamot, I mean, this guy was half dead already anyway.
She held it and used the hammer?
Yeah, she held it and used the hammer. A tin, which is the spike. Vinei Barak, meanwhile Barak is chasing Rodefetz Yisrael, they're all ready for this major battle, because, as I said, this guy was a mythical hero. Out comes this little lady. She says to him, are you perhaps looking for this person? Here is Sisra with a bullet through the head, basically, which she has done. Well, it's a lot more imposing than a bullet to see a spike straight through his head, right? And now all of the glory is basically Sisra. In the hands of Yael, not in the hands of Barak. I mean, you can imagine the impact that this made, because this is Yavin's hero. This is, and here this woman has knocked him out, put a thing straight through his head. There was no greater public relations victory. This was the Mida Keneged Mida, as the Medrash points out. The whole thing was a public relations thing. They were creating this immense power. They were looking down at the Jews as being a bunch of schleps. And now there's nothing that more undoes the manhood of this guy than the fact that it was a woman who did him in. And this becomes very important in terms of the Shira, was manhood against womanhood. And that we'll see is part of this whole milchama. Vatelech yad, B'nei Yisrael. So Vayachnal Yim Bayamot Yavin, Melech Kanan, Lifnei B'nei Yisrael. This was now completely bending. How would you say Yechanan? We have to get an English translation out of it.
Humbled,
I guess.
Brought to his knees.
Vatelech Yad B'nei Yisrael, from this time on, they became Haloch V'kasha. This means there's this movement in Hebrew when you want to say something is a growing direction. You say it's Haloch V'. So Haloch V'kasha means it got more and more powerful, the hands of B'nei Yisrael, over Yavin Melech Kanan, until in the end they finally wiped out this entire movement of recapturing B'nei Yisrael, Eretz Yisrael, by this group of Goyim and Haroshet HaGoyim, Ad Asher Hichritu et Yavin Melech Kanan, until they wiped him out entirely.
The earth of Emek Yisrael is extremely thick and heavy, and therefore water doesn't penetrate it when it rains, it sits. And there's a lot of springs. So there's two types of swamps. There's perennial swamps from that were not draining.
That's the Hula area where they have to drain the whole area.
It's true of the Hula also would be similar with Hula. And then there is, when it would rain, the whole area would swamp over. And this made for Nahalal, for example, people were dying of malaria every winter. Children were dying. A tremendous percentage are getting sick or getting debilitated from the different types of anopheles, mosquitoes, etc. They made a tremendous effort in 1922, 1923 to lay miles of piping and to drain the swamps. And then in 1924, it was like a different world. They were able to live there. One child out of 40 got sick instead of... and it wasn't serious, and now that's why the breadbasket of Israel is Emek Yisrael. But we're taking it for granted now. It's only because of this Maseiros Eretz to change the teva and to drain the areas.
But the fact is, even today, after a good rain, you drive the highways to the valley, and you see there's just pockets of enormous, like puddles in the fields, just sitting there. But the soil is so wet anywhere that it's saturated with a little bit of rain. It just gets all muddy.
This is why that area, the Kaber area, Afula, the land was free. Mm-hmm. Anybody who bought there, there members of my family who bought there in the 20s, when they were selling pieces of gigantic.
That's not way the best.
Because it was useless.
It was free. And then, after all the swamp draining was done, these became very, very valuable.
And the highwaymen slaughtered anybody that tried to come through. There was a few pockets of Arab groups, and you had to get across from here to there. So they had you, because there weren't really passable roads. It said they were shaylet. You think of Harisha Sagayim, you think about the Shlita.